Let's open up in a word of prayer as we begin. Father in heaven, I pray that as we come to hear your word, that you would open our hearts, open our minds to understand, turn our attention to you, help take out the distractions of our week, and help us to focus on your word and to receive what you have for us this morning. In Christ's name, amen. The Bible contains many prayers of people in various circumstances. Last time, I taught about prayer from the life of Jehoshaphat, an Old Testament king who trusted in God during a time of great uncertainty. He was one of the good kings who found himself in a difficult trial. He was facing three enemies that were surrounding him, ready to attack him. And he made this great declaration before the Lord when he said, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And God had answered him miraculously and saved the Israelites from all of their enemies. Prayer is powerful, and it's not something that we ever master in our life. It's not a set of mechanical directions or a formula. Prayer is hard. Sometimes it can feel like a duty rather than a delight. But it's a lifelong aim of pursuing God through Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit, according to his word, through faith and trust in his will. So this morning we're going to talk about prayer again. But we're going to examine prayer from an unlikely person in the Old Testament. This man ran from God, rebelled against God, wanted God's mercy for himself, but resented it when it was given toward others. He's not your typical Bible hero, but he does point us back to Christ. We're going to look at the prayer of a wayward prophet, the prophet Jonah. Jonah's prayer is primarily focused on thanksgiving, with the emphasis on God's character. His prayer was full of scripture, often quoting from passages from the Psalms. And he was an interesting prophet. He knew God. He understood God's character and power, yet he didn't always walk in the ways of the Lord. So this morning, we're going to learn how Jonah's prayer of thanksgiving teaches us that God is more merciful, more patient, and forgiving than we could ever imagine. I hope that this study over Jonah's prayer will encourage your hearts and fill your mind with God's mercy and his grace and forgiveness as you pray to him. So turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 2. That's where we're going to be this morning. The story of Jonah is one of the most well-known Old Testament stories, as the events are very dramatic and they're memorable. Jonah was a prophet. He was one of the minor prophets, it's called, in the northern kingdom of Israel around 775 BC during the reign of King Jeroboam II. Now, the Lord had called him, you'll remember, to travel to the city of Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. God told them to go to Nineveh and to preach against their evil that they had committed against the Lord. Here's the problem. The nation of Israel was very powerful, and they were an enemy of Israel. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh and to preach good news to their enemies. And he knew God was gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, that if he called out their sin and pointed them back to God's mercy, that God would be merciful to them. But God had a heart for the Gentiles, those who were non-Jews, and he wanted them to hear the message of his mercy. So Jonah doesn't want to go, and he thinks, "I got a great plan. I'm going to hide from God." So he tries to flee to Tarshish, where he thought he would be away from the presence of God. That phrase, the presence of God. Jonah didn't learn the lesson from Adam and Eve. Remember, after they had sinned, they sowed fig leaves. And the scripture says, "And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden." It reminds me of a young child that you might have in your arms, and they put their hands over their eyes, and they look at you, and they're like, you can't see me, you can't see me. But they're right in front of their parents' eyes, right? You can run, but you can't hide from the Lord. So Jonah buys a ticket to get on a ship and begins his escape route to Tarshish. But there was a great wind, and things did not go as planned. You can follow along as I read from chapter 1, starting in verse 4. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. It wasn't Mother Nature or something strange happening. It was God who controlled the sea and hurled this great wind against the ship and caused them great distress. And the mariners are afraid. They each call out to his God. Most people pray in times of distress, right? Many people want to reach out to God for help. But meanwhile, Jonah takes a nap and falls asleep. And the captain wakes him up and asks him, what's wrong with you? Maybe you can call out to your God. Maybe your God can help us. He's a very pragmatic person, isn't he? One of these gods, somebody's God, must be able to help us. And then the story continues, and they try to figure out who caused this to happen. Why is this evil coming upon us? And they find out that it was Jonah. And Jonah confesses, saying, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. And then he tells them, I was trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. And now look at verse 11. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to the dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood for you. O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Jonah's thrown overboard, and the mariners are safe. The sea is quieted down, but Jonah is stranded in the water. God's not done with him yet, though. God is more merciful, patient, and forgiving than we can now imagine. And God's grace shows up in a powerful way through the means of a great fish in verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah, up to this point, has been fleeing from the presence of the Lord. He knew the Lord. He knew his compassion, his grace, and his mercy. And even on the ship, he confesses that he fears the Lord. He knew God would show mercy to the Ninevites, and he thought he'd run away rather than to go to his enemies and see them actually repent. But now, Jonah is incarcerated in a great fish for 3 days, and he's going to turn to the Lord instead of fleeing from the presence of the Lord. And Jonah begins this prayer starting in chapter 2. Let me read his prayer. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. This wayward prophet's prayer is full of praise and full of thanksgiving. It's not a prayer of petition. He's not actually asking the Lord here. Rather, it's a reflection of how merciful, how forgiving, and how gracious God has been to him. Let's look at this prayer in three sections. First, he seeks the Lord. He secondly remembers his mercy. And then thirdly, he thanks his God. In verse 1 and 2, Jonah is reflecting when he was in great distress, thrown overboard from the ship, and he was left to drown. He went from dry land to the sea, and now to the inside of this great fish. And now he's reflecting. He's turning back toward the Lord, putting his eyes back on him. He was fleeing from the presence, but now he wants the presence of the Lord. The scripture in this verse says that he prayed to the Lord, his God. It's important, that personal nature. Unlike the mariners who are crying out to any God who will hear them, Jonah is seeking his God who he knows will hear him. He's kind of like the prodigal son of the Old Testament. Remember the prodigal son who returned to his father? But Jonah, this wayward prophet, is a little bit differently because he didn't come back willingly to his father. It took the great fish to swallow him up for him to come to his senses. Kind of funny what the Lord knows to get someone's attention sometimes. Now Jonah takes this opportunity to pray from the belly of a fish. The only time that someone has ever prayed from a place like that, and probably will be the only time in history that somebody will actually pray from the belly of a fish. But if it happens to you, please let me know. The Lord was still Jonah's God and did not cast him out. Jonah called out to the Lord, it says in verse 2, he called out to the Lord out of my distress. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations of distress, right? Those hard times in life when we're desperate and just crying out to the Lord for help. There's emotion in there. It's following the pattern of the Psalms. For example, Psalm 18:6, in my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice and my cry to him reached his ears. Psalm 121, in my distress I called to the Lord and he answered me. Jonah says the same thing, that the Lord answered him. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried and you heard my voice. That word there, Sheol, has an idea of the depths of the grave, the hopelessness of the situation. And he's recalling to his mind at that point that the Lord heard him in his great distress. Even though he was running away from God, God did not cast him out. And he remembered he needed the Lord, and he believed that the Lord would actually hear him. Have you ever found yourself in a situation that was your fault, and you thought, I deserve this. I can't pray to the Lord. But when we pray, we seek the Lord who hears us, undistracted and listening as we pour out our hearts from him. Think about it. Is there anything that's hidden from the Lord? Does he not know everything already? So we can come before the Lord. We can't hide from him. We think we can. We can't really hide from him. He came already to take our shame that we have when we're wayward in our lives. God is more merciful, patient, and forgiving than we can imagine. And think about this. Times of great distress are great times to pray, whether you're at fault or it was someone else. So Jonah finds himself in trouble. You can say he brought it on himself, but he did the right thing. He sought the Lord in prayer. And in verse 3 to 7, he begins to remember his mercy as he's recalling to mind how bad the situation was for him. He was cast into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. He was cast into the depths of the sea, into the heart of the sea where the waves and the billows passed over him. And notice the pronoun here. It was your waves. It was your billows. He's actually talking about how God had caused his creation to put him in such distress. He recognizes that all creation is controlled by God, and that God was even in control even as he was close to death. Just as the Lord had hurled the wind when he was on the boat, he now hurls the sea against Jonah. Things begin to become so hopeless. He's reflecting, the waters were closing in on me. The deep surrounded me. The weeds were wrapped around my head at the root of the mountain, signifying the depths of the ocean floor. And Jonah feels like he's driven away from God. How is it now? He's sinking in the depths of the ocean. All was helpless at that moment, but God. And he says, he looks back to God in this hopeless moment. And God does not respond to him and tell Jonah, I'm not listening to you, you little rebel. Get your act together. Stop it. I told you so. You got yourself in this mess, and you're getting what you deserve. Instead, the Lord knows we are but dust and that we do not follow him as we should. Yet, it doesn't mean God closes his heart to us in our prayers. He's more merciful, patient, and forgiving than we could ever imagine. Look what Jonah says at the end of verse 6. He says, yet you brought my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. Psalm 33 says, O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Charles Spurgeon said this about Jonah. He said, and dear friend, God can bring you up, however low you may have gone. Though in your own feelings you feel as if you had gone so low that you could not go any lower, God can, in answer to prayer, bring you up again. O despairing one, take heart and be comforted by this story of Jonah. God is dealing with you as he was with him. There may be a great fish, but there is a great God as well. There may be a deep sea, but there is an almighty God to bring you up out of it. There is never a place or a time when we can't pray, nor a circumstance that the Lord will not hear us. He heard Jonah from this great fish. As his life was fainting away, he remembers the Lord, and he thinks, I want to come into his presence again. The holy temple signifying that, the place where they would come to worship and pray in his presence. But he experienced his presence from the depth of the belly of a fish. And God heard him. One commentator said, God heard Jonah's cries for help. Prayer is one of the constant miracles of the Christian life. To think that our God is so great that he can hear the cries of millions of people at the same time and deal with their needs personally. A parent with two or three children often finds it impossible to meet all their needs all the time. But God is able to provide for all his children, no matter what they are or what their needs may be. You recognize what a great privilege we have in Christ to pray before God's holy throne. Think about this. There's 8.2 billion people in this world, and God's ears are big enough to listen to all of them if they all cried out at the same time. A commentator is right. Barely meet the demands of two children talking to you at one time and trying to keep track of that. But God is merciful. And what a great privilege that we actually get to go before the throne of God. Listen to Hebrews 4:14 to 16 again. Since then we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We just celebrated Jesus' death and his resurrection, where he passes through the heavens for us and is sitting on his throne. The mercy seat of God is open for us to pour out our hearts with confidence before him, and he hears us dispensing grace and help in our lives whenever we need it. He stands as our advocate, dispensing grace upon grace to us each and every day, sympathizing with our weaknesses. He knows more deeply than anyone on this earth who we are, and he's merciful to us. It's in this desperate moment that Jonah recognizes how much he needs the Lord, and he calls upon him for help, because he knows this: God is very merciful. He was told to go tell God's enemies that God was merciful, and now he wants to experience it himself. And this leads to Jonah's thanks to the Lord in verse 8 and 9 and his praise of the Lord. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love, but I with the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah declares that God is our only hope. He makes this interesting comment about these vain idols. He says that those who worship these idols forsake their hope in God's steadfast love. Idols overpromise, but they underdeliver. Money, power, pleasure, they all promise more than they can give us because it's all temporary. For a moment, they seem like they satisfy us. But have you ever noticed you always want more and more and more? Our hearts so easily deceive us. We think that we can be satisfied with something or someone in this world, not realizing that we pursue vain idols. And Jonah here is remembering that if you forsake the Lord, you forsake his steadfast love, his kindness, his compassion, his grace, his mercy and faithfulness. Like another prophet in the Old Testament, Jeremiah said, they forsaken me the fountain of living water, and cisterns have they digged for themselves. One person said it like this: if you trust anywhere but in God, you'll run away from your own mercy. God is the only really merciful one who can always help you. But if you trust in your own righteousness, if you trust in priestcraft, if you trust in any superstition, you're observing lying vanities and forsaking your own mercy. God is the source of your mercy. Do not run away from him to anyone or anyone else. That sense is that when men depart from God, they depart from life and salvation, and nothing is given to them, for they willfully cast aside whatever good they could have ever hoped for. Psalm 115:8 says, those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them, referring to idols. It's interesting. This wayward prophet has his moments. He has these great moments where he makes these great comments and speaks great truth. But he's also the one who looks like a fool at times. And you wonder, is this the same person? But it is, right? At this moment, Jonah comes to his senses and he's overwhelmed by God's mercy and grace. And he breaks out in verse 9 with a voice of thanksgiving. He says, I'm going to sacrifice to the Lord. Sacrifices in the Old Testament were common practice, a way that they could honor and praise and worship the Lord, as the mariners did when they were previously saved. And then he has another great moment, probably the truest words that have come from a person's mouth, when he declares, salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation is from the Lord. This word salvation can also be translated deliverance. In a temporary sense, Jonah was reflecting upon the salvation he just experienced. He was delivered from drowning to death and was saved by a great fish. Salvation is also used in the eternal sense, right? Salvation from our sins. Jesus used the story of Jonah when he taught. So to reference it, it's in Matthew 12, 38 to 41. Where Jesus says this about his generation. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. But he answered them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Jesus was telling the people about his resurrection, that he was going to be greater than this prophet Jonah was. He made the comparison to the 3 days in the fish and the three nights, referring to his 3 days in the grave, and then he would be resurrected. Jonah was pointing to this greater salvation, one that would be found in Christ. So he says, salvation belongs to the Lord. If God had not acted, Jonah would not have survived. One person said it like this, to save is the prerogative of God alone. Think about it. If you're saved, you can't take any credit for your salvation. It was the Lord who changes our hearts. It's the Lord who opens our eyes to our sin. It's the Lord who gives us understanding that Jesus is the one who paid the penalty for our sin. Have you ever tried to share the gospel with someone and they didn't believe? We can't convince anyone to trust in Christ. We're called to share Christ and pray the Spirit opens the heart. His salvation belongs to the Lord. Psalm 3:8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Psalm 68:19-20, blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation. And to God the Lord belong deliverance from death. There is a thought here in this prayer that I mentioned at the beginning that's important. I mentioned that Jonah wasn't making a bunch of petitions and a bunch of requests asking God in this prayer. It was rather a reflection back to how God answered. A prayer, you can say, of thanksgiving that culminated in this phrase, salvation is from the Lord. It's good for us to have that perspective too in prayer of thanksgiving. The New Testament calls us to this in a few passages, where in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, familiar, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So the question I asked my own heart as I was going through this prayer was, how often I ask from God, forgetting to thank him for all that he has done. It's easy to take the good news we know. It's easy to take the gospel for granted, forgetting the goodness of God and the salvation that he has given us, the deliverance from our sins. But recalling to mind in prayer with thanksgiving can help stir up a renewed sense of the Lord's goodness to us. Think about all the mercy God has shown you in your life. Think about where you would be if you did not know the Lord. Can a believer not say with Jonah, as he said, "You brought our lives out of the pit, transferring us from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of light." We have so much to be thankful for in Christ. Salvation belongs to him. Jonah tasted the Lord's kindness when he least deserved it, and he responds with a thankful heart. We never deserve God's goodness to us, is the point. And at the end, the Lord responds in verse 10. "And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land." Now, you have to admit, that's kind of funny. God's word is so powerful. He spoke the world into the existence, and God's creation submits to his voice. The prison doors of this great fish have been opened, and Jonah is back on dry land. What did God tell his fish? I don't know. Open your mouth and spit him out. It's time for his deliverance from this trial. But Jonah experienced God's great mercy, his great patience, his great forgiveness in this great fish. He sought the Lord, he remembered his mercy, and he thanked the Lord. And if you know the story of Jonah, after being vomited out, he then obeys the Lord and goes to Nineveh. It's good, right? And the people repent. God was faithful. Over 120,000 people turned back to the Lord. But even as we know with this wayward prophet, he grumbled about God's grace to others and was mad that God showed them mercy. But God did not rebuke him. He was gracious to him. He pointed out his bad heart. He pointed out where Jonah had failed and why Jonah was so selfish to only think about God's mercy for himself and not for others. But the story of this wayward prophet is not about the prophet. It reminds us of God's character and that we have a God who hears and answers our prayers. It's good to remember, if I leave you with this, it's good to remember when you pray how faithful God has been and to fill your prayers with thanksgiving. We do not need to fear coming before him. As we know, Jesus died, was raised for us. He took our shame, even though we still fall short, because we're covered in his righteousness, accepted at any time to come before him and to lay out our prayers to him. So let's look to him. Let's look to Christ. Let's follow Christ, praying with thanksgiving and praise for his steadfast love, his mercy, his compassion, his grace, and faithfulness. Prayer is a privilege. Let's not neglect this means of grace that God has given us to worship our God and to thank him for all that he has done for us, promises to do for us in the future, and for delivering us from all of our sins, freeing us so that we can be with him for all eternity. God truly is more merciful, patient, and forgiving than we could now imagine. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word that's recorded the story of your grace to us through people that you worked in and through this wayward prophet Jonah, who didn't have it all together, but he knew you and expressed truth about you that were recorded for us. How thankful he was for how you delivered him. How thankful he was that you showed him mercy and showed him grace, even though he couldn't see that for others. We learn much from this story of how your goodness, your kindness, your steadfast love, Lord, and we thank you that in Christ Jesus, we have the forgiveness of our sins and the hope for eternity. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness to all of us through the message of the cross that we get to hear and learn about each and every week, Lord. Thank you for your word. May you remind us of your word during this week. May we not forget the message that you've had for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.